This morning, we're going to continue our study in 2 Peter. If you'd open your Bible, that was read there just moments ago. 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to begin at the end of verse 10 into 11. And I want you to keep a marker here because this morning, I want to have you be turning to a few places. We need to do some teaching on the beware of false teachers. What we've got here in Peter wrote his first letter, and that letter was written, "This is the will of God for you when you suffer." That's 1 Peter. 2 Peter is to keep us on track to understanding a true knowledge of God's truth. You've got to have that in order to stay in line. So 2 Peter is about staying in the knowledge of the truth. And he really states that a lot in the first 11 verses of 2 Peter 1. What we want to do, look at chapter 2 here. Look at verse 1. He says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, knowing or bringing swift destruction upon themselves." Bear with me in my reading, as those who are in class know I can't see. So we're dealing with that. So I'll try to be on spot, okay, for your sake. And you just be patient with me. He said, just like back in the old days, old prophets of the Old Testament, there were false prophets there. And guess what there's going to be today in the church? False teachers. We'll come back to this in a minute. You keep this all marked, because like I said, we'll move through several verses. One thing that we see here, there were false prophets. I want to give you one illustration of the false prophets that were back in the old. In Jeremiah chapter 25, Jeremiah was a prophet of God, and he was teaching Judah and Jerusalem. There was an impending doom coming on them, and he reminded them that prophets have been sent to you from God in the past, and no one paid attention. And now Babylon's going to come down, and you're going into captivity for 70 years, and a lot of you will die. What a prophecy to hear and to know that they haven't heeded the teachings of God. But then you go to Jeremiah 28, and there's another prophet. His name is Hananiah. And Hananiah began to prophesy opposite of what Jeremiah said. And God told him through Jeremiah, "Because you didn't listen to my word, and now you believed a lie, that you people will die, and Hananiah is going to die too because of his he didn't care about the Lord's word. He cared about what Hananiah wanted, and he was favorable to the people. He spoke what the people wanted to hear. That's the danger. A lot of people have their own ideas, what they're interested in and what they want to hear, and it can make us deviate from the Word of God. Come with me to Matthew chapter 7. Look at what Jesus said about the false prophets. And then we'll come back over to 2 Peter. Jesus warned in Matthew 7, look at verse 15 and 16. "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit." Beware. How do false prophets, how did they come about? They were wrapped in sheep's clothing, innocent, cuddly, nice. They're going to look nice in appearance. They're going to be likable, but you know what they are inside? They're like ravenous wolves. And how are you going to know who they are? First off, they're going to speak opposite of the Word of God. And secondly, the fruit, the things of their life. Just look at their life and watch what comes about in their lives. Knowing that, come back to 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And look what Peter reminds us of. 2 Peter 1:16. Peter writes these words, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty, His splendor, His greatness." Peter said, here we are as apostles. And he's referring to, and the rest of you kept reading, Carrie preached on it. If you keep reading, he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17. And he said, you know what? We're eyewitnesses. And you know what we didn't do? We didn't have cleverly devised tales. Well, a lot of people, when they preach and teach, they're clever with things. And they devise their own tales, their own ways, their own things. These apostles had firsthand knowledge of who Jesus was. They heard what He taught. They saw how He acted. And they took the message from Jesus. And they brought that message into all the world. Not out of cleverly devised tales. And you know, it's interesting knowing that. So look at verse 19 while we're here. "So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you would do well to pay attention to as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart." When we were eyewitnesses in everything we heard and saw, we have this prophetic word made sure. They saw it. They heard it. You and I would do well to pay attention to this word so that the things that in this word will come into your heart and will help you see better, understand better. Pay attention to it all the way. Now as we continue on, I'll just bring this up right here. One of the things we do, Carrie and myself, we preach what we call expository. Expository preaching is where you come and you go right down the verses. Pay attention to the word. And we don't miss anything. And it's powerful to go right down the verses and read them, and let them be. And even if sometimes you may not believe certain things, when you go down the verses, somewhere you're going to hit every detail of the life of people. And Peter just says, we have this prophetic word made more sure. You would do well to pay attention to it. What Peter and them are writing, do you know Paul did the same thing? Come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul did the same thing. And you get to see Paul and Peter and these apostles are all cut from the same cloth. They're all in the same eyewitness account. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Listen to what Paul writes. "But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Paul and them, Paul said, guess what we do? Everything is in the sight of God. He knows it. And we're not adulterating. We're not using craftiness. You know how you adulterate the Word of God? You take the Word of God and you add outside things to it. It's kind of like a marriage. Here's a marriage, and anytime you take an outside source and you bring it into that marriage, you've adulterated the marriage. And he said, we're not doing that to the Word of God. We're not bringing outside things in and adulterating the Word of God. False teachers do. And you've got to be aware of what's going on when they do that. But we're commending ourselves to everybody's God. You can see what we do. We're open to everybody. We're examples to everybody. And we're doing it in the sight of God. Because you see, as a teacher, as a preacher, there's some accountability that's got to be had in this. And so Paul made sure. And so the question for you and me this morning, how important is it to you to pay attention to the Word of God, to the things that the apostles heard and what they taught? Are you tuned into that also? What's at stake in all of this? Come back over to chapter 2. Look at verse 1 again. Let's read this again. He said, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Notice he changed from false prophets, because we don't have prophets today, to false teachers. They will be among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even deny the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. You know, false teachers, they just slide things in. You get people going on something, and then here comes an opinion. Here comes something else, and it diverts you away from the message of the truth of those apostles. You got to be careful with it. You got to love the Word of the Lord so you don't let them do that to you. Give you a quick illustration again. 2 Timothy chapter 4. How about 1 Timothy? That works much better for us. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll find it here just a sec. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at the first two verses and look at what Paul reminds Timothy that's going on. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith. Notice where the Spirit of God said this is going to happen. That there's some going to fall away from the faith. Who are we talking about, the faith? We're talking about people in Christ, the church. There's going to be people fall away from it. Why will they fall away? There in verse 1, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. You know what some people do? They spend their time studying false teachings. There's a danger in that. What if we put more effort in paying attention to the prophetic word rather than paying attention to false doctrines and doctrines of demons? It's a dangerous path to go. Well, I wonder what they believe. I wonder what they teach. What if we learn what the apostles taught? And that becomes our focus. Look at verse 2. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, sear their own conscience as with a branding iron. You know what means they use? They follow liars. And they don't even care because their old conscience has been so seared. They don't even see what they're doing anymore. We'll see that out of 2 Peter in just a minute. When we began to look at the characteristics of false teachers, you've got to have something wrong in your mind and your heart. You've got to have a seared conscience to go away from what the apostles taught when it's right here before us. And so that's what's going to happen here while we're here at 1 Timothy 4. Look down at verse 12. He says, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. When Peter brings up false teachers, do you know that is the only time in all Scripture that any New Testament writer uses the term false teachers? And sometimes what we've done within the body of Christ, we've taken on the mentality that we need to make as many people teachers as we can. And James writes the opposite of that. In James chapter 3, verse 1, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that as such you will incur a stricter judgment. You know what? He expects more teachers. And here in 1 Timothy 4, 12, you know what a teacher needs to be? They need to be an example to those who believe in purity, in their conduct, in their love, in their faith. Sometimes we have people teaching and their lives are a mess. What are they going to inform us about the things of God? See, we don't want to take everybody from the standpoint of saying, hey, let's make everybody teachers. No. No, let's not do that, because we may be putting them on the judgment seat. Because a teacher needs to be an example to the rest of the body of Christ. They need to know what they're talking about and who they're talking about, and not sliding in these deceitful things, things that are wrong, their wrong opinion. We don't need that. We need the Word of God. And the Word of God alone. That's for your safety. And then as a teacher, as a preacher, guess what? The Lord expects of us, there's going to be a stricter judgment on you. That always has scared me, to knowing that there's a stricter judgment. But if you just do things out of purity, out of love, and those items, and live your life from what it says, you don't have anything to fear from judgment. So, this is the groundwork coming into what we're going to talk about, false teachers. The characteristics. Now, come back to 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at the end of verse 10. And especially those who indulge in the flesh and the corrupt desires and despise authority. You know what a false teacher does? They indulge in their fleshly desires. If we were to go over to Galatians chapter 5, verses 21 or 19 through 21, you have the deeds of the flesh there. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife. And then he talks about jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here you have these false teachers, and guess what they indulge in? The flesh and its corrupt desires. You watch their lives. They're not an example. They have, maybe they have strife where they fight with people, argue with people. They have anger issues. That's what they do. They may not have all of these things in Galatians 5, but they'll have some of them, you can bet. And that's what they revel in. And doing all of that, he says here in verse 10, and despise authority. That's a big word. Despise authority. I'm going to ask you a question this morning because I'm going to show you something. How many people, let me say this before I say that, the pulpit and the teaching of God's Word, politics has no place. Because if you despise authority, how many people speak against the President of the United States and people just chime right in like it's nothing? I don't care who the President is, if you like them or don't like them. Somewhere we need to go back and we need to read Romans 13:1 and pay close attention. Let's pay attention to the prophetic word. Paul wrote in Romans 13:1, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Did you hear that? All authority is God established. And He expects you and I to be in subjection. The false teachers aren't. They despise authority. Nobody's going to tell them what to do. And so they'll take the politics side and they'll start talking about this or talking about that. You don't like the president? What if you realize God placed him there? What should our attitudes be? False teachers don't care. They despise all the authority. Well, let's continue on here in 2 Peter. I get my pages apart. At the end of verse 10, daring, self-willed. Daring, self-willed, and do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. Daring. Oh, they make bold statements about things. They don't even know what they're talking about. They're bold, and they really don't care what comes out of their mouth. They just make this daring approach to God. There is no fear of God in their eyes at all, a person that's daring. That is not good. Daring, self-willed, no concern about the punishment and the expectation from God. They're not even aware of the God they're supposedly speaking for. He continues on. Self-willed. Self-willed is a person that pleases themselves. It's all about them. And it's going to be their way or the highway. Now, if the apostles spoke it and the apostles taught it, there is no other way except what they taught. Daring, self-willed, and he says they don't even revile, and they revile angelic majesties. Why does he bring up that? Angels played a big role in that first century. But the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels, through angels, proved unalterable, and every transgression received and disobedience received a just penalty. When angels came and they provided the word of God, you know what you couldn't do? Don't you dare them. Don't you question them. They're speaking in the presence of God, for God. And these false teachers, they don't even stand in tune with what an angel says. Angels' words were powerful. In fact, when an angel spoke the word of God, there was no changing it. There was no altering it in any way unless you want to be penalized. So false teachers, you know what they do? They change God's word with no fear, no regard for anything else. They change it. And we've heard a lot of it over the years. In verse 11, here is 2 Peter. He says, whereas angels, who are greater in might and power, do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. You know what angels don't do? They don't bring a judgment, revile against people before the Lord. Good illustration of that. Angels always hold their position. God said, this is what I want spoken, and that's the way it is. And they didn't alter that in any way. If you look at Jude 9, Michael the archangel, he tells us there that Michael the archangel, when he disputed about it with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. And you know what? We don't have anything written in Scripture about the devil and Michael the archangel fighting over the body of Moses. But one thing about it, you know what Michael didn't do? He didn't bring a revealing judgment against the devil. Michael the archangel, all he said, the Lord rebuke you. We're going to do it the Lord's way. I don't care what you say. See, Michael knew his position. He knew how far he could go. Angels have limitations of what they can say and do. And if they went beyond those limitations, angels were sent to judgment. They don't get a second chance. So even Michael didn't do that. And angels are greater in might than we are? Sure they are. They're greater in might. But these false teachers don't recognize that. This is their character. Look at verse 12. continue speaking to the false teachers. He says, but these false teachers, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, and in their destruction of these creatures also be destroyed. Look how he pictures false teacher. They're creatures of instinct. They just do what's natural. They have no fear of God. They have nothing to control them. They don't want to be controlled, except a false teacher wants to control all of you. That's their purpose. And they're born to be captured. That's the instinct, like animals captured. That's what they're born for. And we got to be careful that we don't listen and follow in their teaching. This is the judgment that they have. Now, I'm going to share this little tidbit with you. A few years ago, sitting in a class here, so this is our people, and the brother that was teaching class made a couple of statements. After class, I had a member come grab me and said, he's a false teacher. I said, you think? He said, did you hear what he said about this? And he told me. And I said, I know the brother, and he's far from a false teacher. Don't mix up in accusing a false teacher. He just had some limited insight to Scripture. That's all it was. And I said, have you been to talk to him? They said, no. And I said, go talk to him first. and you'll see what I'm saying. They did, and they found out. They came back and said, just exactly like you said, he was willing to listen. He didn't argue. And we looked at the verses. I said, that's not a false teacher. A false teacher just follows their instincts. They follow their fleshly desires. They're always reviling things. They revile angelic majesties. They do all of this. They're daring. They're self-willed. He wasn't daring and self-willed. So be careful when you judge somebody as a false teacher. Talk to them first. And if they take their stand and insist on what they say is right, and you can show them where it was wrong, and they won't listen, that'll throw up a flag pretty quick. Be careful. And so as he continues to describe these false teachers, we need to pay much more closer attention to the Word of God and make sure it says what it says. Look at verse 13. Here's some more characteristics of false teachers. Suffering wrong is the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, resulting in the deception as they carouse with you. You know what they do? They just work among us. Because see, false teachers want to be acceptable. If they can get your confidence, and they have no shame in what they're doing, they revel in the daytime. They're wide open. False teachers don't come up to you and start teaching or preaching and say, brethren, I'm a false teacher. I want you to know that. You've got to look at these characteristics of what's going on in their life. They're not an example. They're a bad example. But they're not an example of the things of God. And so here they are. They revel with you. There's no shame with them. They're going to act like they're a part of you. Let them join in. Let them be a part of it. But God says they're stains. They're blemishes. You and I have been washed in the blood of Jesus. A completely clean inside of God. If you take a piece of paper that's white, and you put a blemish on it, a stain on it, and you hold that up, what would you see? On the white, you would see a blemish. These false teachers and the way they go about things, they're a stain. They're a blemish. And you got to be aware what you're listening to. That's what the Word of God says. There's always something going on in their personal life. They always got these troubles because they bring it on themselves because the Lord is against them. Watch for that. They get great pleasure out of falsehood because some of them follow their fleshly desires. You and I, we can't allow that. You know, he says here at the end of the verse, I don't want to get to that. So here we go. They're stains and they're blemishes. Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deception as they carouse among you. You know, false teachers have no shame. And they think they're right. Notice the next verse. Having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children. What's their heart been trained in? Greed. You ever notice, and I'm not I'm not going to say, listen to TV preachers. I will not advocate that either, because they're just as bad. Because you know what nearly all of them do? They preach money. Send us money so we can keep this ministry going. They'll take verses in Scripture that if you send us money, the Lord promises that He will bless you and you'll have things pressed down and your basket be overflowing. You want to support this ministry, don't you? Don't take the Word of God and corrupt it with stuff like that. I was reading an article the other day. There's a fellow the other day that got up in front of the people and he told them, the Lord told me, that's always a bad sign. The Lord told me that I'm to go to Jerusalem and to preach an Easter sermon to the people over there. And he said, I'm supposed to collect the money from you for our way over. Guess what happened? He got the money. People so blind, don't even pay attention to the Word of God. The Lord didn't tell you any such thing. You just use the people for your own greed, for your own gain. I don't know how many of you remember this. Several years back, quite a few years back, there was a fellow by the name of Oral Roberts. He has a university down in Oklahoma named after him, Oral Roberts University. And he began making advertisements on TV. And in those advertisements, you know what he said? The Lord revealed to me that if I don't raise $8 million by this such and such time, He's going to terminate my life. These were ads that were on TV. You know what happened? He got the $8 million. People sent him the money. And you know what happened shortly after that? He died. Now, if you're a teacher of God and a speaker of things of God, and you say, the Lord told me that He'll terminate my life if I don't get it, and your life got terminated when you got it, what does that tell you about Him? The man's a false teacher. And don't get caught up in all this false teaching rhetoric. Peter says, these are the characteristics of a false teacher. You need to be aware of what's going on. You need to know God's Word and pay attention to the prophetic Word of God so you can spot a false teacher just like that. And you look at today, you look at the thousands of different teachings that come from one Bible. People have taken it, and here's a shoot here, and here's a shoot here. Here's what we believe here. Here's what we add here. Here's what we do because I like it. And I'm going to promote that stuff. Beware of false teachers. They're going to lead you down a wrong road. And so I encourage you this morning as we come to the end, how well do you know Scripture? Are you a candidate to be led off into something else? Well, I like going there because I got friends there. Oh, it doesn't matter about the Word of God, what's being taught and preached. I got friends there. Friends are more important than the Word of God. We need to be careful. And I'm trying to encourage you to be careful. And Peter is encouraging the people. There will be false teachers among you. And there will be people who pay attention to false doctrines and doctrines of demons. That's going to happen. And we just need to be a people. If we're preaching something and you see us not practicing it, oh, pity on us. Pity on us. We need to practice what we do preach. And you need to be able to see that in us. Not saying that we're above or special, but you ought to be able to see the Word of God in your life. That's the way they live on a daily basis. And being an example to those who believe. Be careful what you listen to. Jesus said those words back in Luke 7. Take care how you listen. You need to make sure it is the true Word of God. And not when someone comes up and quotes a verse and then sticks 20 other things along beside of it. Because you'll get carried away. And that'll be to your destruction. It will be the destruction of this congregation if we deviate from the Word of God. I want to encourage you. We'll keep preaching and teaching, and Carrie and I, even though we're not perfect, we'll do our very best for you to always deal with the Word of God for you, your soul's sake. And I want you to deal with it. And I'm sure never against someone saying, I didn't agree with you on something. Doesn't bother me at all. If you can help me stay on track, I'll do that. But I'm going to sure help you stay on track.